This is a life-changing message from New Light Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. And now, let's join Dr. I.V. Hilliard.
Okay, say it like you mean it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. All right, in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, we'll start there at verse 2. We're starting a new lesson series today, and it's entitled, The Power of Affectionate Giving. The Power of Affectionate Giving. Verse 2 says, Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God. Underline, with all my might. The gold for things to be made of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, wood for things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistening stones, and of divers colors, and of all manner of precious stones, and of marble stones in abundance. Verse 3, the emphasis verse. Moreover, because I have set my affection, underline that, set my affection, to the house of my God, I have on mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. And then he goes on to describe his gift. Let's pick it up there in verse 6. Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel, and the captains of thousands and of hundreds and of rulers, and with the rulers of the king's work, offered willingly and gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams, and of silver 10,000 talents, and of brass 18,000 talents, and 100,000 talents of iron. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasure of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jeiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced, for they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. What an incredible passage of scripture. Here we look at David giving to the house of God, inspiring others to give to the house of God. And we're going to be teaching from this subject for the next few weeks, the power of affectionate giving. Everybody say affectionate giving. Now, this lesson series is going to impact your giving in every area of your life, and not just money. Everybody say not just money. But how you give to your family, how you give to your children, how you give and yourself to others, how you give in every area of your life will be impacted by what I believe the Spirit of God has challenged me to give you. First of all, I want you to realize that I have an utmost dependence on God. And that dependence on God causes me always to look to God for what to do. Now, in 20 years of ministry, I have never, ever attempted to manipulate you into giving. Never, ever in 20 years of ministry here attempted to manipulate you. Now, I understand that we are up to a time of giving in our church that's very critical for us. But I can't make anybody in here give. You will give in response to your faith, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I have to preach the word of God to you, show you from God's word what to do, and then trust that you will respond as you move by the Spirit of God. But the point I want to make is that we have to all depend on God. Amen. So we don't use games, don't we use gimmicks. Even when we were building this edifice here, and we were building it, and, you know, of course, there were some challenging weeks. But not once did I come in here and fake an anointing to give and tell y'all the Lord. Say, everybody who rushed down here right now and give $103, you know, will receive a blessing. I don't play games. That's it. Just don't play games. In fact, a few days ago, well, last year, I sent our children, my children out to a seminar, and it was a capital seminar, and they came back. Well, when they were there, they called and said, well, they are teaching people to do something, Daddy, you would never do. And I said, well, what is that? He said, well, they teach you to go and court the big givers in the church. I said, well, you know, I don't ever do that. I never do that. I never find out who's the big givers and sit down and try to court them and try to get them to give money. Never do that. Never have, never will. So in this time of giving that's so critical to us, I sought the Lord. Lord, what do you want me to talk about? And that's where he brought me to this point of looking at this very familiar passage, and we're going to be teaching on affectionate, the power of affectionate giving. David said, I have set my affection to the house of my God. And so in this, I know God was going to show me some incredible things from a familiar passage. You can never get so familiar with Scripture that you disrespect its power to give birth to new revelation. Amen. You know, I think what best illustrates this is in Hebrews. Go quickly to Hebrews chapter 11. I'm just going to take a quick stop here. Hebrews chapter 11. Man, I've read this scripture for years. And then the other day, God just brought this, birthed this thing on me. And I saw something new in here that just, and I've been telling preachers everywhere. So you probably hear it on TV real soon. Yeah, I've been telling preachers everywhere about this. How we had, I read this one day. The Spirit of God said, underestimated Abram's faith, Abraham's faith. All right, there it is in look at verse 17. It says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that hath received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it is said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Now, I've read that a long time. We've even preached about Abraham offering up his son. Those of you who are Bible scholars, you'll understand this. Of course, Abraham's faith was testimony. God says, go offer your son as a sacrifice. And he took his son to the mountain, at the foot of the mountain. I think Dr. Bridget preached it. And you know, she's so eloquent when she preaches that thing. How at the foot of the mountain, told her and made a faith confession, as it were, and told his servants, you stay here. My son and I were going to the mountain and we're coming back. And preachers have preached this all over, and we've thought that Abraham's faith was to this point, that when the boy was on the altar, he raised the knife to kill him, as you would a sacrifice, and then God spoke and said, don't do it, there's a ram caught in the bush. We thought this scripture here meant that if he had killed him, that God would have raised him from the dead, right? Abraham's faith was far beyond that. Because Abraham went to offer a burnt sacrifice. Remember the boy said, his son said, Father, I see the wood and I see the fire, but where is the sacrifice? Here's where Abraham's faith was. Abraham's faith was, if I kill him, that's only step one. Step two is I burn him up to ashes, that God will raise him up from the ashes. From a familiar passage, see, Abraham had resurrection faith. We only limited him to him to have raising the dead faith. But he had faith at a whole nother level. He went to offer a burnt sacrifice, and his faith was, if I raise him, if I slay this boy like I would a sacrifice and burn him to ashes, that God would raise him from the dust. Incredible. From a familiar, everybody say familiar. From a familiar past. If you don't let it get so familiar that you won't understand that God can birth new revelation. So we're going to use some familiar passages. Amen. Now I was telling one preacher this, and I told him, I said, man, in my days when I was hooping, I could have pulled that boy. And he said, you know, how would you pull it? I say, well, you know, resurrection faith means that, you know, of course, we all have to have resurrection faith. That when we die, even though, you know, our bodies may decompose, that when Jesus stops in the air, somehow or another, God's going to put our ashes together. You follow me? That's resurrection faith. So if I was a hooper and I was going to close it out, I'd say, some glad moment. When this life is over, I can pull that thing. But I'm not doing that. I'm teaching now. So I told one preacher that. He's teaching the word now, but, you know, he's the ex-hoop here. I said, son, doc, don't hoop that tomorrow. He said, I can't make you no promises, pastor. Now, even as a pastor, I have to be careful who I really get close to. Because everybody can get familiar with me and still maintain a respect for the God factor on my life. You know, some people just can't handle it, you understand? That we can sit down, eat together, talk together, laugh together, but still there's a God factor anointing on my life that can never be disrespected, you see? You can't get so familiar. So there's some passages that we're going to look at that we've looked at before, but God going to breathe afresh on them. Now, this affectionate giving. Now, you know, in our text, David has an incredible day of giving, and he's worshiping through giving. One pastor asked me, where you come up with these ideas for on giving? You know, like the 13th day we're going to have on March 13th. He said, man, where you come up with all these ideas? I said, I read the Bible. That's where I come up with all my ideas. I read the Bible. The pattern is already set. For what we're going to do on the 13th has already been done. David did it a long time ago. Amen. Had a day where they declared their gifts publicly. You got it? He led the way first with his gift. That's why I'm going to lead the way with my gift. And then all of the other leaders followed him. And then the congregation followed him. And their gifts were publicized. That's why they were documented. People said what they were going to do. And it was an incredible time. They gave from the heart. Everybody say from the heart. And that's what God wants us to get to. And what you really need to understand is this time of giving has to be a giving from the heart. Now turn to Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, because the Spirit, the scripture exhorts us always to do everything from the heart. Everybody say from the heart. With all of our might. Verse 23 says, Colossians 3, 23 says, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. He wants us to do everything with passion. Christians are supposed to have some passion about what we do. Amen. We should not be dull, but we should be passionate. In Mark chapter 12 and verse 30, make a note of it. He says, thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, with all thy strength. A passion about it. Whatever you do for God, you ought to have a passion about it. Now, let's think about it. You know, when you were going to the clubs, you wouldn't dare hang around a club where there wasn't no excitement. You walked in there and wasn't nothing going on. I mean, you had to go find someplace that was happening, right? Now, come on, don't be so saved now that you don't remember that. Amen. There's something that is contagious about people when they are passionate about what they're doing. Even when they were wrong, they was passionate. You understand? How is it that when we come to the Lord, we think we got to lose our passion? No, we ought to be excited about the things of God. In fact, the scripture exhorts us to do so. Turn to Luke chapter 12. We have two simple points we want to make today, and I don't think it's going to take us long to make. One point is we want to understand the dynamics of my heart in my giving. And then secondly, we want to understand the determination of my heart in my giving. Let's look first at the dynamics of my heart. But the Bible lets me know there's a connection between my heart and my giving. Luke chapter 12, are you there? All right, Luke chapter 12, verse 34. Luke chapter 12 and verse 34, all right? It says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So there is a connection between your treasure and your heart. Wherever your heart is, it will direct where you put your treasure. So I can easily tell what's important to you, where your heart is. You give me your checkbook, I'll know. If I gave you my checkbook today, you will know where my heart is. First of all, you'll know that I love the Lord and the kingdom of God because I'm a serious giver to the kingdom of God. Secondly, you'll know that I love that woman up there because I spent a whole lot of money on her. A whole lot of money. Now, I tell men, if you want to go to a whole nother level of passionate love with your wife, just spend some more money on her. Ladies, I thought y'all would help me on that, but y'all missed an opportunity to help me. Y'all missed And I'm serious. It's scriptural, you see. Wherever I put my treasure, that's where my heart's going to be. Can you remember after you bought a new car? You follow me? And you had to kind of strain a little bit to get it. I mean, you thought about that car all the time. There's a connection to wherever I put my treasure, my heart goes trotting right along behind it. Amen. So if you want to go to a whole nother level, just spend some money on it. Ladies, y'all missed another chance. Y'all, I don't give you no more chance. I'm through with you. I'm through with you, through with you, through with you. I'm trying to help you out, trying to get you some stuff, you understand, from your husband, trying to help you. And y'all just left me out here. So I'm going to help you no more. Yon, yon. All right. All right, watch this. Go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, because the highest level of giving is giving based on my heart. Giving out of affection. Giving because I love. Out of love. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so what? Loved the world that he what? That he gave. He gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So love gives. Everybody say it. Love gives. That's it. When I love, I give. When I love, I give. When I love, I give. So you can't tell me you love me if you ain't given me. It's difficult for a woman to hear, I love you. You understand? And you ain't paying bills. It's difficult. You can say it and but it's difficult for it to really register. Because love gives. Hallelujah. Amen. Love gives. Now, giving is important because giving is the only way you can fulfill purpose in life. God told Adam in Genesis 1:28 for him to multiply, be fruitful in the earth. And so you can only be fruitful, make a deposit, leave a deposit in the earth if you're a giver. So we are called to be givers in the earth. We cannot fulfill our creative passion, our creative purpose without being a giver. You got to give. Then the position that we hold in life calls upon us to give. If you're a father, you have to give. If you're a husband, you have to give. You follow me? If you're parents, you got to give. So giving is a part of our nature. Everybody say, he's not talking about money either. Come on. Not talking about money, but giving. I'm a giver by reason of position. As a pastor, I have to give of myself in this pastoral office. So giving is a part of our lives. Now, we don't have a problem with giving finances until it comes to the church, and then that's when we bog down. Because when you go to the store, you have to give. Amen. Amen. And when you go to the sports arenas, they receive offerings. They do. Yes, they do. They receive offerings. And they get their offering before you get in there. Amen. So, we don't have a problem with it. We don't bog down with it until it comes to church. And then our cynicism rises up in us and, our suspicions rise up in us when it comes to the house of God. We got to get beyond that. And you get beyond that when you know you're giving to God. You get beyond the things around and you give to God. Okay. Now, turn with your Bible. Just look here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to cut y'all short. I'm going to give them all to y'all. All right. Several motivations for giving. Number one, I can give because I've been agitated. All giving is not done from the heart. Some giving is done just because you're agitated or annoyed, like the unjust steward in the Bible or the unjust judge in the Bible, because the lady just kept bugging him. He said, give her what you want. Sometimes you do that with your children. Oh, y'all just want to be the soul class today. I'm trying to hurt y'all. They just worry. All right, go on, you can have it. Well, I wouldn't love. You just got agitated and annoyed and you just broke in. You just caved in. So all giving is not inspired by love. Secondly, we are motivated to give many times out of what I call appeasement. We appease our conscience. We give to the poor to appease our conscience. Or we give just out of obedience. It ain't love. We're just okay. That's what God said do. That's what I'll do. There's no affection attached to it. Yeah. Then we give based on appreciation, a cultural thing. That culturally, you know, we have been trained that when somebody does nice things for you, it's culturally acceptable to do something nice to them. You got it? In some places, some cultures, it is culturally proper that if you're going to go into the presence of someone, that you bring a gift. Well, that gift wasn't out of love. It was just out of cultural respect. You got it? Then you can be motivated to give out of the advantages for giving. And that is, the Bible says, giving it shall be given unto you. And many people give because they're motivated on the return. And that's okay. But we want to focus our giving not on those motivations, but on the affection motivation. I'm giving because I love God. Okay. I know I got my work cut out for me. God wouldn't give me a lesson like this. You know, but this is a foundational lesson, so I'm all right. I'm all right. Are you there in 2 Corinthians chapter 9? I want you to know that God is looking for this kind of giver. Yes, he's going to give you the return. Yes, he's going to cause your cup to run over. Yes, he's going to do the good measure, press down, shake them together, run over. All that's in it, but he's looking for those who give from the heart. All right, verse 7 says, every man, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a what? A cheerful giver. Amplify says this way, let each one give as he's made up his own mind and purposed in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowful or under compulsion. For God loves, watch this, he takes pleasure in, prizes above other things, and is unwilling to abandon or to do without a cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it giver whose heart is in his giving. Amen. Whose heart is in his giving. Everybody say, whose heart? Is in his giving. So that's why God wants us. God wants us to the place where we're giving to his causes, giving to the kingdom because we love him. Yes, the return is coming, but the highest motivation is not the return. The highest motivation in God's eyesight is you're giving because you love it. Amen. Amen. All right. Turn with your Bibles to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. Amen. My charismatic crowd. Now, when you look in the Bible, you see all kinds of giving in the Bible, but the kind that stands out is this giving that's done from the heart. The Bible talks about a time in the ministry of Jesus when a woman walked in with a precious box of ointment, alabaster box of ointment, broke it and gave it, you know, and poured it on Jesus and wiped it up with her hair. It was an emotional time. She gave out of her love. Amen. David had a covenant with Jonathan, and it was because of his love for Jonathan that he gave to Jonathan, and Jonathan gave to him. You follow me? All through Scripture, it stands out. You know, the greatest gift of all, of course, was the gift of Jesus on the cross. And why did he do it? He did it because he loved us. And so what God wants us to do as a body is to, yeah, we believe for our return. But let the primary motivation for your giving be because I love God. And that motivation will anchor you through the scarce times, through the sacrificial times, and most of all during the surplus times. If your only motivation to give is to get to a place of blessing, what are you going to do when you arrive? Hallelujah. So we must be determined in our giving. Everybody say determined in our giving. How many of you would like to be six-figure givers? Yeah. Giving the $100,000 range above. How many would love to do that? Okay. All right. If you can demonstrate love in your giving now, then God will be able to trust you at the higher level. Now, of course, Dr. B and I, we're six-figure givers, been there for a while. Praise the Lord. Six givers, been there for a while. And God can trust us with that level of giving. Because it's a passion of my heart to give. I love it. And we're not just talking about the giving that we do in the kingdom here, but we're talking about giving that we do in general. And it's just a part of me because of love. And I understand. I understand that I'm where I am because he loved me. And I'm getting ahead of myself, so I want to go down. I want to show you today how to cultivate a love for God in your giving. Because when you first get saved, you don't love God. Okay. I don't know why y'all always try to trip on that. You don't. You don't know enough about him to love him. You just get saved because you don't want to go to hell. Let's just face it. You get saved because you don't want to go to hell, or you get saved because you're in a whole bunch of trouble. You're having hell now, and you say, if the Lord can help me, come on, let him help. What I got to do? Right? I mean, that's what you really do. What I have to do? Say with my mouth the Lord Jesus, make him Lord, you know, say Jesus. What I got to do? I'm having, if he can help me, I want to do what he did. But there is really no love relationship there because there's not been time spent to know him. It's only when you began to learn about him and learn how good he's been to you already that you really fall in love. We're going, oh my God. You understand? So I'm going to show you how to cultivate that love. So when you do things for others, when you do things in the kingdom of God, it's born out of love and no ulterior motive. Amen. Acts chapter 11, verse 29. It says, then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. Underline determined. Because there has to be a determination in you based on love that will anchor all your giving. A determination based on love. Otherwise, you will not be a giver long term. You won't be a giver long term in your family. You won't be a giver long term in the service of the kingdom of God. Amen. You can't be a giver long term in anything unless it's based on love. That's the whole thing about unconditional love is that you set your reason for doing things higher above the person that's receiving the love. See, I love my wife because I love God. So no matter what she does, she's going to always be the recipient of my love. She gets the overflow of my love. I love my church in spite of y'all. Because I love God, he commands me to love my church. You understand what I'm saying? When unconditional love is a love set higher than the object of the affection. And so you have to understand that. And if that's not there, it's easy to become bitter with people. Amen. So now, what I have to do is, I have to know how to cultivate this love for God. Because there is a power that is released in my life, and there is a power that is released through affectionate giving that no other giving releases. And that's what we want to tap in when we begin to give. We want to tap into this next level, this other level of power, when I've given based on my affection. Amen. Based on my love. Everybody say, based on my love. All right, now, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Hallelujah. I love me some Bridget. And Bridget love her some me. But we proved our love in the lean days. Got it? No question in my mind about her love for me, because when I didn't have anything, she was there. Got it? I said that to say this, you prove your love to him in your present state. You don't say, I'm gonna wait till I get. No. You give out of a loving heart now. You got it? See, I trust her with all my money. Because she proves she'll stay with me if I don't have a dime. If all I got is a good conversation. For years, that's all I had was a good conversation. You understand? Look, I don't even carry a checkbook. When I want to know how much money I have to ask her. Well, she proved that she stayed with me if I didn't have a dime. So I ain't concerned, you know, now I got a little bit, you understand? You have to understand, you're at the right level to begin to give out of this love, this affectionate love. That's what God wants to see you giving at. And I know when you first hear prosperity, it ain't about loving God. It's about how much can I get back? And I understand that, but you got to grow beyond that. And I'm not teaching against the return. He will give you the return. Amen. And we believe for the return. And I agree with you for the return. And I want you to have your return. I want you to have your good measure pressed down, shake it, and running over. I want you to do that. Amen. But when it's anchored in your love for God, you can handle the running over. And it doesn't at all diminish your relationship with God. Now, I got 3 points and I'm gonna let y'all go. Point number one, a determination based on love can give without the expectation of return. When I'm giving because of love, even when those I've given to never return it, it doesn't stop me from keeping on giving. Evidence of that is our love for people who are on drugs. Life Change Institute, men and women, you got it. We've had over 6,000 men go through the program. Got it? We don't shut the program down because of that 6,000, very few give back. Because we didn't give it to them. We didn't minister to them expecting. You better give something back. In fact, we're going to make you sign a contract. Then when you get free and get out of here, you owe us for what we've invested. Done solely out of love. And see, we can keep on doing it, even if a brother comes through and forget about us and go on about his business. You follow me? Because what's our motivation? Our motivation is, it's all about our love. Number two, a determination based on love can give when others have wronged you. One pastor asked me, because he was a young pastor, he said, how you keep on giving when folk that you give to spit in your face, you know, over a period of time? And of course, in church, I mean, that's just part of it. You know, let me hear how I say this, because I want everybody to hear clearly. There are times when a person who may be in our church, who may not meet the guidelines for benevolent help. We have guidelines that we have whereby we help our members, and it's based on some guidelines that are so we can be fair to everybody. There are times when people don't meet the guidelines, and yet because of relationship and God speaking to Dr. Bridget and myself. Now what I say, relationship and God speaking. Relationship and God speaking. We will personally help them. I mean, we personally go in our pockets and help them because it's outside the guidelines. Now, I say that relationship, God speaking. So don't write no letters. You follow me? Requesting it. We don't have a relationship. God ain't said nothing. I'm standing in agreement with you for the right. Some people we've done that, very people we've done it to, have left the ministry and lied on us. So what? I'm not sour. I don't get bitter because it wasn't about them anyway. I did it out of a heart of love. So I told the pastor, that's the only way you can do it. Whatever you do it out of love. Whatever you do. You do it out of love. Amen. All right, Ephesians chapter 7, are you there? 6, verse 7, it says, with goodwill doing service as unto the Lord, not unto men, knowing that what is of good thing any man doeth, the same shall receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. That's the point. That when you do it out of love. Amen. So you never get bitter, and you never cut back. Because see, the only way we can express our love to God is loving people. Amen. So the devil would love to have you bitter about a bad experience when you bless somebody and you help them. And then they turn around and betray you, kick you in your teeth. And you say, well, I've been doggone. If I'm going to help anybody else, I've been doggone. And that's as good as the devil wants now, because now he can have you bottle up with bitterness and unforgiveness. But no, you don't let that happen to you. You do it as unto the Lord. And so whatever happens, it happens. You follow me? And you just keep going on with God. Number three, final point, is only a determination based on love can give when all your needs are met in abundance. Only when I'm giving out of love can I continue to give when all my needs are met in abundance. See, if you're just giving to get to a place where you're driving the kind of car you want to drive, the house you want to have, when you're only giving for that, then what happens when you get it? When you go, man, I don't need no blessing. I already got my blessing. I'm a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. It's in the bank. Well, if that's your motivation, you see, it's going to be compromised when you get it. But if you're doing it because I love God, then no matter how much you get, you never cut back. And that is why we're going to talk about this kind of giving in the future. That is why first fruit giving inspired me. Even though I was already tithing and that sort of thing, when I saw the first fruit offering was some in addition to it, but it was just another way to express one's love to God. I didn't fight it at all, my Lord, because I wouldn't have what I have now had it not been for him. So let's wrap it up to talk about how to cultivate this love. It is so easy to cultivate a love for God. The love relationship is so easy. You don't have to go deep. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, starting there at verse 10 all the way through verse 17 and 18, you can read it for yourself. I'm going to just talk you through it because it's so simple. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. Here's how you cultivate a love for God. When you begin to understand about his mercy. Now, the mercy of God says this, that because of your wrong, God could have and justifiably allowed the court of divine justice to rule against you. Okay, let me put it like this. Y'all missed it. You didn't deserve the love of God, period. And he could have just stepped back and let the devil have his way with you. He just could have stepped back and let the devil wreck your life. He could have just stepped back and let you got killed in that shootout. He could have, you know, let you got caught in that motel room. Amen, amen. Y'all making me go down. I'm trying to be nice and just be on the surface, but y'all making me get a little radical. You see, I try to be real nice, you understand? You know, because all of us have been in some situations where we don't ever want anybody to find out. We've done things we don't ever want anybody to find out. The Bible didn't say y'all have sinned. It says all have sinned. But in spite of how wrong we have been, he still covered us and kept us. And here we are today, sitting up in the Lord's house, looking all sanctimonious. And we would not be here had he not loved us. Amen. So it's just to remember, you are where you are. You're not where you are because you were so good, because you were so sweet, because you were so kind, because you lived so righteous. You're not here because of that. You're only here because he loved you enough to extend his mercy. And mercy said, this is what mercy is. Mercy is when the demons are ready to jump on you and they got a right to, because you done messed up. You out there somewhere you ain't got no business being. And even justice, spiritual justice says, you going down. Mercy, the mercy of God says, oh, nope, can't do it. Mercy is when God withholds from you what you really deserve. And everybody in the house, look, and the older you get, the more you love him. You go, my Lord, yes, hallelujah. When you look back on your ignorance, places you were and you had no business being, things that happened around you that, my God, could have taken you out of here. Then you look at people
who you know were doing what you were doing, and they got taken out, and you still here. You go, wow.
Yeah.
Now, I know a lot of y'all, you know, a lot of y'all sitting here, and I'm not doing this to get you emotionally aroused, but I'm you're looking at people hollering, so you're going, what is wrong with them? You don't understand, they just remembered. They just remembered a place where they were, and the mercy of God held back. So that kind of puts all of us in the same boat, right? All of us in the same boat. There is none righteous, no, not one. You want to cultivate a relationship with the Lord, you just simply think back. As he says, remember, you just remember that you were here because of the goodness of God. With everything you had to face in life, with every failure you had to go through, every disappointment you had to go through, somehow God just kept you. So now it's understandable. It's understandable why the songwriter just lost words when he started talking about the love of Jesus. And all he could say was, oh, how I love Jesus. He couldn't describe it. He couldn't put it in words. And so when he got ready to pen the next line, oh, how I love Jesus. And you would have thought that third time around, he would have gained some articulation, but again he said, oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. Out of time. Hallelujah. He's a good God. He's a good God. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's walking, please, nobody's moving. Father, we thank you the word's fallen on good ground, and we thank you, Father, that as we remember your love, it's your love for us.